We were headed for the trash pile.
Come on. Quickly.
Man, but he sent a word.
Yeah. A word.
He sent a word.
That's it.
And that word said, let there be light. And in that good news of the gospel, he shed light on our life. And we got to see Jesus and who he is and what he's done and his calling upon our life. And God justified us through his blood and then by his life that is to be lived in us. God living in us. Man, God living in us. That through his life we shall be saved, as the scripture says in Romans 5. That by his life, we shall be delivered. That is, what? Can God live his life in me?
Amen.
Can he live his life in me? Raises us up so that he can live his life in, with, and through us. He's good to us, Aunt Carolyn. He is kind and gracious and full of tender mercies and compassion toward us. Yes, he really is. He is good to us. All right, let's jump in the Word then. Let's get in there. Let's get in the message real quick. Anybody have anything that you want to share? We're up to what, 120? Was that today? Am I ahead, behind, where am I? Is that right? 120. So we've read 120 Psalms in the past, what, 20, what's today, the 24th? 24 days. Well, we asking the Lord to do his work and his will to be manifested and clearly seen and embraced. And he promised he doesn't withhold any good thing from us, right? What he says, and we can trust him. We can trust him. Even when we don't necessarily foresee the answer that he's given at the time, we can put our confidence in him. He always has when we're praying for his will to be done and his cause to be seen through all that. We can know that he will grant the desires of our heart to us and bring about what will be best for us, himself, others around us. Never just about us, right? So he's always at work and doing what he's doing. So we can thank him for it. All right, anybody, jump in there real quick. You've got a lot of material.
107.
We have more things to share and talk about than we have time, for sure. 107 in verse number 20. In verse number 20, Brother Shannon said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's what you're talking about, right?
And he sent his word.
He sent his word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
He sent his word. Where's another? In the last several 10 days or so, there's another passage that said, very similar thing, that God sent his word or he gave command for his salvation or his deliverance. Where's that at? You just read it recently. You know, these things pile up, but it's one of those you want to parallel. I'm going to tell you it's in the 70s. So you start looking around 70, 71 and see if you can see it. Well, let's narrow it down to 71. And then y'all dig around in. I'm pretty sure if it ain't, we'll find it. We'll find it. Somebody find that for me in the first maybe 5 verses. He sent his word. He sent his word. Y'all find it yet? Verse 3. What does it say? 71:3, what does it say? Somebody read it to me. I'm going to turn to MSL. I was over. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. You have what? Given the commandment. You've given commandment to what? Save me. To deliver me. To deliver me. To deliver me. We're talking about a saved person who found himself in a trouble and needed delivering. But before that deliverance came, who had to give a word? Who had to send a word? God had to send the word. God had to command the word. And when he makes the command, everything that is subject to him acts on that command that he sends. The angels, for an example, they respond to that word. They go at his bidding. To the tenor of his voice. We just read that. Where was that at? Oh, yeah, you can, Brother Shannon. Think about it. You just read it in the last 3 days. To the tenor of his voice. They respond to the tenor of his voice. I'll start the psalm out like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. O bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. And then you get to the end of that particular psalm. So if you found that psalm, you're gonna find what you're looking for about to the tenor of his voice. Psalm what? 103. Psalm 103, right? Look toward the end of the psalm in reference toward the angels. That they're ministering spirits and they're sent. And they said they respond to the tenor of his. What does it say? Psalm 103. What's that? Look in verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word. When he sends it, heeding the voice. The word voice is the tenor. The tenor is the reflection of his voice, heeding the tenor of his word, the reflection, the urgency, or however the tense that God gives in the reflection of his voice is how the angels are going to respond. Now, think about the New Testament. How could we parallel that over in the New Testament in the Lord's teaching them how to pray? He said something in teaching them how to pray. What did he say? Thy will be done on earth as it is done where? Well, how does heaven respond to God's word? They respond to the reflection of it. They can respond to the tenor of it. Whatever degree God's talking at, that's how they respond. And that's what We want to be in the position to consider with care and caution God's message. That when things are urgent, we respond urgently. When times are waiting, we wait. In times of earnestness, we're earnest. In times of diligence, we're diligent. In times of peace, we are peacemakers. Why? Because we respond to the voice or the command of the Lord. So you can see how 107 in verse 20, God sent a word. In Psalm 71:3, the psalmist says, you sent a word. And in 103, God sent the word and the angels respond to that word. And he delivers us from harm and destruction. And throughout the Psalms, you've been reading that. That God delivers us from death. He delivers us from the pains of death. What psalm kept saying that? You delivered me out of death. You delivered me out of death. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I love the Lord, he said, because he heard me, because he delivered me out of death. Where's that at? Now, y'all been reading this. Y'all been reading it. 116. Look at that. 116. This takes us in verse number 1. When you think about this, there's a couple times in the scriptures that it parallels the idea of the psalmist in response to God hearing him. Any vibrant, growing relationship, there has to be communication that is being heard, listened to, and thriving in. Notice how he started that psalm out. I love the Lord. Why does he love him?
Because he has heard my voice and my supplication.
Notice the word because. That's not a light word there. I love the Lord because he heard me. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and supplications. Verse 2, because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. That relational value, you cannot separate it from any thriving relationship. There has to be those that communicate and those that hear. You take husbands and wives. If there's a problem in the relationship, it's going to always go back to a communication issue. A husband don't have to be the best husband in the world. He may not be able to do everything right and do a lot of things right, but if he'll listen to the heart of his wife, she'll love him. No matter how stupid he may do stuff. I'm just being straight on that. It's the idea that he listens. He listens. He hears. He pays attention. And the wife loves him in spite of him. Because he listens. He listens to me. It's fundamental. You'll never get away from it. It has to be there. And that's what the psalmist is saying, is that I love him because he hears me. He hears me. He listens to me. He says it this way. Go over to, hold your spot right there and go to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. You want to be a good listener, right? Come on now. You do. You have to be. In a thriving, vibrant, growing relationship, you want to listen. Look in verse number 6, 28:6. This commitment. He can't help but bless God. Why does he bless him? He tells us because he what? He's heard me. He's heard me. He listens to me. He hears me. This is the relational dynamic and value of this. Blessed be the Lord because he heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly does what? Rejoices, and with my song I will do what? I'm going to praise him. Why? Because he listens to me. He hears me. Nobody hears me like he hears me. Amen. He listens to me. So he's telling us, I will trust, I will treasure him, I will triumph through him, and I will tell everybody I know about him. Why? He listens to me. He listens to me. He has my trust. He is my treasure. He is my triumph. He is my testimony. Because he listens to me. And this goes right along with what he says in 1:16. Is that I treasure him. I love him. Because he listens to me. And that applies for both husbands and wives. Those that listen to the heart of their spouse. You can't get away from it. It applies to us and the Lord. It applies to all our relationships with one another. I mean, you think about it. How many times have you been frustrated with people that just didn't hear you? They would listen to you. Wouldn't give you the light of day. And you can communicate with them, but what you communicate goes in one ear and out. How do you think about a person in that situation? What is your loyalty to that person that you know doesn't listen to you, that doesn't pay much attention to you? They let you talk, but you know they're not gonna hear you. You think, man, they don't really care about my heart. They don't care what I think, or they're not concerned about me. You can't see. But when you see them really listen to somebody else, you see a relationship being built. But if they're not listening to you, you're not going to say, I'm giving that person my trust. I'm giving that person my loyalty. I'm going to give that person my treasure. They're a treasure to me. They're a testimony to me. But see, the Lord listens to us, doesn't he?
Amen.
And he hears us because we belong to him. So that right there in itself, man, is of such personal value in our daily journey and walk with him. Verse 3, what does he say? The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol, the grave, laid hold of me. Notice what he found. He found what? Verse 3. This is, I'm back in 1:16 in verse number 3. What he said I find? I found what? I was looking for something. And what did I find? What? I thought I was looking for something else, but what did I find? I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. And what did God send? Man, he sent a word, didn't he? He sent healing and deliverance. And the first thing he says in verse 5, what was God to him? He was what? Gracious. He didn't deserve it.
No, neither would
we. He didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Gracious is the Lord, and he is righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. He was simple. That's why he found trouble and sorrow. That simplicity took him down the wrong road. I was brought low, and he did what? He helped me. He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Now watch, he's going to bring up death again. Verse 8, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He's committed to him. Because God done rescued him.
Amen.
God has rescued this man. Verse 10, I believed, therefore I spoke. And that's a New Testament quote. Anybody know where that's quoted in the New Testament? Paul uses it. 2 Corinthians chapter what?
4,
verse 13. Remember verse 7 up to that point was Paul talking about what God had put him through. That they had gone through hard things and difficult things and challenging things, and God had delivered them to death, that the life of Christ may be manifested out of their mortal flesh. And he says, we are delivered over the death, that Christ can be manifested out. And he says, I believe, so therefore I what? Spoke. And this is where he draws this out. I'm greatly afflicted. Verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Verse number 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is what?
Yeah.
The death of his saints. Now, you can apply that, no doubt, to when people die, and that is how that is often taught and applied, but I think it's deeper than just physical death. I think the picture is here, the psalmist, in his despair, died to who he was, and God raised him up from that. No different than how the New Testament speaks. That's what the principle in the New Testament is all about. God delivers us to death so that the life of Christ can be manifested out of what? Out of our mortal flesh. This is talking about dying to ourself. This is what this is referring to. Precious in the sight of the Lord is when we die to us, when we die to ourselves. I jotted down a note. The question is, can God be God in me? Can God be God in me? Well, the only way God can be God in me, I got to die. See, God was God in Jesus. In the humanity of Jesus, God was God because he was totally yielded to his Father, right?
Amen.
He was totally yielded. And God could be God. This is a little note. I had put a few things in my Bible. Can God be God? Yes, God can be God in me. Jesus is the example of a man that God could be God in. He could be God in him. In his humanity, God could live his life through Jesus. His work of grace in us is so that he can be God in us. We are the body that he wills and works in us to do according to his good pleasure. Isn't that what Philippians teaches? It is God who works in you both to what? Will and do according to his good pleasure. Well, how can that be? God, we've got to die, right?
Amen.
We've got to die. We have to die. As Paul would say in the New Testament, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself on my behalf. It's Christ liveth what? In me. That is God being God in me. And that's what the psalmist, and that's what Paul, when he took these thoughts, that's exactly what he's referring to. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the dying to self of his saints, that God can be God in us. That the life that Jesus lived is now living in, with, and through us. Amen?
Amen.
That's the picture that we see. Can he live his life through you, through me? When we die to us, he can now live his life in, with, and through us. Because look what he's going to say, verse 16. O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my what? My bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. The idea of loosing his bonds is what? He's talking about he was bound by the bonds of death and God loosened him from it. Set him free. But how did that happen? It just didn't happen because it happened because God done a work in the man. He was brought low and he died to who he was and God raised him up.
Amen.
God raised him up. So in this, we see 1, 2, 3, 4 references to death. And in each one, it's a deliverance from death. So when it says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He's not talking about the physical dying. He's talking about the spiritual dying that is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. To die is what? Gain, right?
Yeah.
Absence from the body is what?
Present.
Present with the Lord. As Paul would say, look, If God wanted me with him, he would have done taken me. But it's obvious he has a purpose, and that is for me to what? Be here among you for your benefit. But the man was dead to who he was. As Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to what? You got to die. You got to deny yourself, take up the cross, and come after me. Unless a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it remains a life, but it's always single. It's always one. See, life is dormant in a seed. I don't have any seeds in my pocket. I didn't put any in when I come over here. I got them in another pocket, Brother Shannon. I didn't bring it all my stuff. I didn't load up today. I was quickly getting my stuff together to come over here. So, but if I had a seed in my pocket, that seed, it's dormant. Life's in that seed. But that seed won't produce anything unless the seed dies. And how does the seed die? It's got to be what? Planted in the right source.
Yeah.
And as long as we live single on our own, we have life, but that life has no, it produces nothing. It has to die in Christ that it be blossom, that God can live his life out of us. Amen?
Amen.
And who's the example of that? Jesus is the example of that. He sure is. Look in verse 8 again. You know that principle. From something to something. Look at verse 8. For you have delivered my soul from something. Verse 9. To what? Walk. Walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So he delivers us from something to what? To something. It's just a consistent pattern with the Lord. Go over and look at that 2 Corinthians 4 real quick. 2 Corinthians 4. You'll see how Paul used this and brought this idea of death and dying together. Y'all enjoy Psalm 119? Y'all get to read it all today? How many verses? 176. Take your time with it. Don't get no hurry with it.
I did not read all of it, no.
It just look, take your time with it. You know what else you can do?
I do, though, from time to time when I'm needing a spiritual lift.
Yeah, go to it.
I go to 119.
Man.
Just before I know it, the problem has melted away.
I tell you what, 119 is one that we could really read upon about every day. Just read a little bit of it every day. Try to put one of the stanzas, one verse to memory each day. It'll change you little by little. It's just one of those great messages that I believe was written over a period of time. I believe it was over a period of time, and it is so, so rich. It's one of those that you see somebody, they're steady growing, and they're always grappling, wrestling with new things. No matter how far they get along, the problems just shift and change over time, but they're still grappling with stuff. It's the life of the believer and dependent upon God. 16 times in it, he's asking God to do a work in him, to grant life to him, revive him. So if you broke that down, that's about every 11 verses in it. Out of the 176 verses, he's asking God to bring him back. Why? Because you see the cycles that he's going through. His problems, he's always going to have to deal with issues with himself and with people around him, but how he looks at life changes, how he looks at people change, how he looks at himself is constantly changing. But one thing that remains the same, God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of his truth. And that, boy, we can glean so much from it. But in verse number 7, look what he says. This is 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that is Jesus, that is the light, that is the gospel of this treasure, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of who? Remember, can God live his life out of me? The excellence of his power in clay vessels, clay pots. We're just clay pots that the light of God is living in, that the presence of God is living in. Verse 8, what are we? What are we going through? We are hard pressed on every side. You'll never get away from that. No matter how far you walk in the Lord, no matter how wise you become or how deep you get into the things of God, you're always going to be hard pressed on every side. Yet not what? Crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That's the objective. God always delivering us to death. Because if we wouldn't be delivered to death, we would not deliver ourselves there. We wouldn't take ourselves down that road. Verse 11, and I'll tell you who else ain't going to take you down that road. The devil ain't going to take you down that road. The last thing in the world he wants you to do is die to yourself. He wants you to live for self. You live for self, you'll glorify him without even acknowledging him. You follow with me?
Amen.
Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death. For whose sake? So who's behind this? God's behind this. We're always delivered to death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is what? The death of his saints. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Remember, our flesh is mortal, but what he's done in us is immortal. Amen. It's everlasting. Verse 12. So then, what is it? Death is working in us, but what is it producing in those that are watching this death at work? It's producing life in other people. That is why one of the dynamics that it's so precious to the Lord is that when we're dying, he's using that to produce life in somebody else.
Amen.
Verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, here it is, what I believed, and therefore I spoke. Now, what did 116 all about? Four different times it was about death.
Yeah.
Delivered, delivered, delivered from the death of this world to deliver us to death to ourselves so that we could be resurrected in God's life, that he could live through us. Paul said, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, what did the psalmist say? Gracious is the Lord. Gracious is the Lord. Having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. When?
Day by day.
Day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what?
Eternal.
For we know, verse 1 of chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, if it is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, but what? Eternal. This body's mortal, but what he's done within us is immortal. We have an eternal home in the heavens. For in this revelation, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this thing is who? God. Who is also, not only did he prepare us, but he's also given us something as a guarantee. What did he give us? The earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6, so we are confident then, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Therefore, we walk by faith and not by For we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Look at verse number 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all what? And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Praise God. Amen. Man, can you see 116 coming alive? That's the message. Amen. We were headed for the trash pile.
Come on. Quickly.
Man, but he sent a word.
Yeah. A word.
He sent a word.
That's it.
And that word said, let there be light. And in that good news of the gospel, he shed light on our life. And we got to see Jesus. And who he is and what he's done and his calling upon our life. And God justified us through his blood and then by his life that is to be lived in us. God living in us. Man, God living in us that through his life we shall be saved, as the scripture says in Romans 5. That by his life, we shall be delivered. That is what? Can God live his life in me?
Amen.
Can he live his life in me? Well, when he is, you know, we'll be compelled to. Constrained by his love. And we'll judge thus that if one died, then all died. Amen?
Amen.
And he died for all. That those that live should live no longer for themselves. Is it a daily battle?
Yes.
Oh, it is. But precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen?
Amen.
He raises us up so that he can live his life in, with, and through us.
He gets no glory in the death of the wicked.
It's what he said. It's what he said. He does not delight in the death of the wicked. He does not delight in the death of the wicked. He does not delight in it.
But
why?
But he loves his saints.
Loves his saints.
Die for him.
Man, who lay it down. Who lay it down. Who says, God, come live your life in me. I want to live your life with you so that you can live your life through me to touch people for your glory. Amen?
Amen.
Man, the life that he lived qualified him to die the death that he died. And the death that he died qualifies us to receive the life that he lived. And when we die, that life is then released in and through our lives to what? Produce life in other people. That God uses us. He uses us for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Can anything separate us from that love in Christ? Nothing. Nothing created. Amen?
Amen.
At all. So to him be the glory. Well, look, anything else before we go tonight?
God's so good.
He is that, Carolyn. He's gracious, good, and merciful, huh? Man, praise ye the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for sending forth the word, the command to save us, to deliver us, to heal us, to deliver us from destruction, the path we were on. You tell us that in 103. You have forgiven us. You have healed us. You have mended us. You have clothed us. You have crowned us. You have satisfied us as the young eagles who are satisfied with the meat that is brought in the nest. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all the benefits that you've blessed us with. And thank you for doing what we would never have done, would never ever do apart from you daily, delivering us over the death that your life can be manifested out of us. So we're going to praise you and thank you for your kindness toward us and doing what as a shepherd who's always leading us to the green pastures and the still waters to satisfy and meet every need in our life. So we're going to praise you now and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all. Y'all have a good night.